Our first reading also stands as the sermon text. It's from Acts chapter 5. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, the teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census, and he drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So, in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. You rise from prayer. Gospel reading is from John chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold the forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thank you. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Much of the book of Acts is a tracing of how the life of Jesus is etched into the life of his followers. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John heal a man who was crippled since birth in the temple courts. It echoes Jesus' healing of the man born blind. And Peter uses that fame to preach to those gathered. His essential preaching was, you killed Christ, the Holy One of God. God raised him up. Now is the time of repentance. Repent and believe. Like Jesus after the healing of the man born blind, this preaching causes the Sanhedrin to get involved. They arrest Peter and John, and after letting them cool in jail for a day, they bring them before Annas and Caiaphas. And all of the rest of the same group. And they're asking them the same question they were asking of that man born blind. How did this happen? How did you do this? And Peter, Acts tells us he's full of the Holy Spirit, stands up and says, you guys killed Christ. God raised him. The stone that the builders has rejected has become the cornerstone. In Jesus' name, this man now walks. And then Peter tacks on to Annas and Caiaphas that only in Jesus' name is there salvation. Like with Jesus and the man born blind, the now walking crippled man is standing right there. They can't deny it, and the crowd is with Peter. So the Sanhedrin issues them a gag order. No preaching in Jesus' name. Knock it off. Peter tells them, guys, that's going to be a problem. That's why I'm here. But they can't do anything to him. So after yelling at him a little more, they let Peter go. And true to his word, Peter's back in the temple precincts, preaching again and doing more healings. So they get arrested again. But this time, instead of being in jail, an angel comes and releases them and tells Peter, go back to preaching. Like Jesus, the apostles, the sent ones, have a mission, and they're going to accomplish it. This time, Caiaphas gets busy with a full-on blame-storming session. He's interviewing the guards and the captains of the guards. Who let these guys out? He's getting used to this. As it isn't that long ago, he's been asking these guards and captains the same thing about that tomb of Jesus. Who let him out? In a great Lucan understatement, he says, they were greatly perplexed and wondered what this would come to. Somebody had to take the fall, and it wasn't going to be Annas, the son-in-law of Caiaphas. But seemingly lucky for them, Peter shows up bright and early in the morning preaching in the temple courts. So they go and get him. But they can't get him by force because they were afraid that the people would start to stone them. So just imagine for a second all of these guards coming and saying, Peter, would you mind coming down to the station with us? I think you could hear the despair in the high priest's whine. We strictly charged you not to teach in his name. Yet you've filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. It's one of the most ironic lines in the Bible, because that isn't Peter's intention. But Caiaphas himself, who says it, was leading the pledge not that long ago, saying, "Let this man's blood be upon us and our children." They're starting to understand their mistake. But it isn't Peter's intention just to hold them accountable for it. Peter's not out organizing simply for justice. Yes, Peter will remind them of their actions. You killed Jesus by hanging him on a tree, but the Father raised him and exalted him. At his right hand, he's been exalted to two things. In Greek, it's archon, which can mean leader, but think of it as founder or originator. Jesus, by his death, which you caused, and his resurrection, has opened the path to heaven. Because of this, he has also been exalted as Savior. The intention, the purpose of our preaching is not justice, but redemption. To give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins, we are witnesses of these things. Even you, Caiaphas and Annas, repent, and you will be forgiven the blood shed. Even you, Caiaphas, can become his disciple. And just like when the man born blind encouraged them to become his disciples, when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. Repentance is a gift. Repentance itself is an act of faith. The truth has been put plainly before the Sanhedrin, just like it was put plainly before Pharaoh, just like it was put plainly before Nineveh. Just like it has been plainly put before us. God has worked a mighty wonder in the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is that founder and the perfecter of our faith. He's the cornerstone, the first one laid upon which everything else is built. We can harden our hearts to this truth. We can continue in our own ways, building on sand, following wide and easy paths that wind to destruction. Or we can hear the word, repent. Not for some balancing of scales of justice. The Father has already done that. He's risen, and he's exalted him to the right hand. Nothing that we can do will add anything to that. We can repent because God wants to throw those scales out. He wants to grant us his grace. His salvation has been made apparent before all of the world for all of those who soften their hearts and believe. For us who have believed, we are witnesses of these things. along with the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. We know going in that such witness is a two-edged sword. We pray that it produces repentance. We pray that the Lord would grant forgiveness and the Spirit, and in the words of a strong old hymn, the bold blasphemer smite. Not smite with a physical sword, but with humility, leading to repentance. Think about it, roughly a month after Good Friday, here is Peter telling Caiaphas, repent and believe. Lead Israel into the forgiveness of their sins. But in the mystery of God, sometimes that repentance is not granted. Sometimes it's simply not granted yet. Allow me one tangent here. There's a second story that's lurking in the background. Paul, who was then known as Saul, is most likely standing at this meeting. Luke, who wrote Acts, doesn't write anything without sources, and his sources could have been Peter, or it could have been another one of the disciples. But Luke elsewhere will remind us that Saul was a student of Gamaliel. Just a chapter later, Saul will approve the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr, and will kick off a wider persecution. Gamaliel's advice, you could take as his advice to a young pupil zealous for the traditions of his fathers. Saul, let it play out. Gamaliel's advice would win the Sanhedrin officially that day, but unofficially, Saul is working against his teacher. He's getting his permissions from the Sanhedrin to track down the believers wherever they are, tracking them down on a road to Damascus, the bold blasphemer smite. Sometimes repentance is just not granted yet. The disciples, in this case, are beaten and released. Roughly what Pilate wanted to do to Jesus happens to them. And their reaction to this is praise. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. The life of Jesus is etched into the life of the believer. We are praying for our enemies. Father, forgive them. Christ, grant them repentance and forgiveness in the Spirit. Or we are bearing the cross. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. Revenge just isn't on the list of appropriate responses. Power politics is not the Christian way. Instead, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Whatever the reaction, that's the call. We are witnesses of Easter. And we're witnesses of Easter as the sign of that great Easter to come. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. Jesus lives and the victory is won, and now we await that final trumpet that brings forth all of the living and the dead, taking them to the kingdom which has no end. On that day, witness is no longer required because the presence of God is with his people. On that day, the toleration of Gamaliel and the left-hand approaches will no longer be necessary. They're necessary today because we don't see very clearly. What we might see today as a great and holy crusade, think about Saul, often turns into just a grubby war against God. So instead, today, we pray and we bear the cross instead of conquer. But on that great Easter, Christ in all of his glory shall conquer all of our great enemies. On that true Easter, the witnesses shall see God face to face. Amen.